You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Thank you for listening. I'm going to preach to you on this topic of making a difference. Are you ready? Are we good to go? Imagine with me for 1 second. Just imagine with me for 1 second. Your examinations, your exam is just around the corner. You're trying to cram as much in as possible, like we all do. You're going through past papers, right? In the hope that your teacher, your lecturer, may recycle some of the old questions. Is that right? It's pretty stressful, right? And then you receive an email from your lecturer, you receive an email from your teacher, and for some reason, you're not quite sure why, your lecturer just felt that he or she wanted to email you the questions to the exam. Wow, just think about that. Is this really true? I've got the questions to the exam. But it gets better. It gets much better. You read through your email and you realize towards the end, your lecturer or your teacher did not only give you the question, but now he also gave you the answers to the exam. So next week, you're going to sit in an exam where the questions have also, and the answers have both been given to you. I mean, surely you cannot fail. Is that right? I mean, all you have to do is just remember the question, remember the answers, just write it down. You cannot fail. If I said to you one day, you and I will stand before God as judge, and he's going to ask us all 2 questions. Will you be ready? And my aim this morning is to tell you those 2 questions, and because I love you as your pastor, I'm going to also give you the answers to those 2 questions. All right? You're going to thank me on that day. And I'm not joking. That on that day when you see your judge and he asks you these questions, I just want you to remember me. Remember this day when the pastor actually gave us the question and the answers? Right? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 at the very end of the Bible. The very, very end. The book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. Look what John, the author, writes. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. In other words, such awe, such power, such glory. And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small. That's everyone standing before the throne, and the books were open. These books were open. Another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Let's stop right there. There is a book, singular, a book of life, we see in verse 12. And if your name is in that book, if your name is written in that book, then you have this wonderful access to God, this connection with God, and you get to enjoy Him forevermore. If your name is not in that book, in other words, you don't want Jesus today, there's a very good chance you would not want Jesus later on. But if you want Jesus today, and you have Jesus today, then your name is in that book. So there's a book. And here's the very first question that God as judge will ask you. Are you ready? And he will ask you this question. It's on the screen behind me. What did you do with my son, Jesus? That's the very first question that God will ask everyone. Great, small, good people, not so good people. He will ask that question. What did you do with my son, Jesus? Think about that question. How would you reply that question? And I'm going to tell you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer to that question. Because you will be asked that question. I guarantee you. But before I give you the answer, I will give you some wrong answers. Alright? I'll give you some wrong answer. And if the person next to you already asleep at this stage in the sermon, that's okay. Just nudge them when I give the correct answer. Alright? Yeah. It's serious. This is very important. Because even that person who's asleep next to you will be asked this question. Here are some wrong responses. Okay. Oh, I had a Bible and I read about Jesus and I knew that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Here's another response. Jesus motivated me to serve in the church, and I helped out with Sunlight Kids. Here's another one. I went to church every Sunday, and I sung songs to Jesus. Because of Jesus, I love him so much, I give away more than 10% to my church and to missions and then to the poor, etc., etc., etc. I was inspired by Jesus, so I got out there and shared the good news, and I saw many people saved. I mean, all those responses are great responses. They're great, but they're all wrong. You answer any one of those and you will get a fail. They're wrong. I mean, they're good things to do, and that's what you ought to do, but that's not the response that the judge wants to hear from you and I. There's a verse that I mentioned weeks ago in Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew with me in the gospel, Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, this is what Jesus says, verse 22 and 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doer. You see, the correct answer to the question, the first question, what did you do with my son Jesus, is this. God, I welcome him into my life. I had this relationship with him. We had a great connection. I knew him personally. I'm so thankful that, you know, he did all the work for me. And I knew him and I love him and there's a connection with him. I know that what I have is only by the grace of God. I'm a sinner. I didn't do anything to earn this position. He did it all for me and I love him so much and I talk to him and I hear from him and there's a great relationship with him and I know him personally, not in my head, but in my heart. That's the answer to the first question. Paul would say this in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, not what you do. Not going to church, not giving money, not serving, not praying, not listening to what I preach. It's only the grace of God through faith, not yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so don't boast. God gave you his son, and what did you do with his son? I welcome him, and I have this wonderful relationship, this connection with him. That's the answer to the first question. So when you see him one day and he asks you that question, what did you do with my son? Oh, I received him. I have a relationship with him. There's a connection with him. And we are talking to each other and we're in communication and I'm just loving him. Not what I did, not how much money I gave. It's all about receiving his son. Can you remember that for me? Because on that day he will ask you that question. That's your answer. I mean, remember me, please, on that day. Oh, yeah, I remember what Pastor Ben said. Now, here's the second question. This is a question that not many of us are aware of. Go back to Revelation 20 again at the end of the Bible. Let me read that verse again. Notice this time. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there were no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and books, plural, were open. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. You notice that carefully. You've got one book, singular, book of life, and now there's a collection of books. It seems to be like there's a set of books where God will keep a file of everything you and I have done. It says it right there. All the good things, all the bad things. And let me say, God is not going to open up these books and pinpoint and make a mockery of us. We don't believe in that. God doesn't do that. But it seems from the text that there is these books where God will keep a file of everything we do. Everything that you and I do, from the moment we're born to the moment we leave, God is going to keep it in these books. And there seems to be a reward system based on these books. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Look what Paul says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in body, whether good or bad. Very clear. Every single one of us, based on what we have done, recorded in these books, God is filing everything, God is going to give us a reward. That's what the Bible says. Jesus also said that in Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. It's very clear. There has to be some kind of accountability. God is going to reward us based on what we've done. So here's the second question. So what's the first question? What did you do with my son, Jesus? Here's the second question. What did you do with the life I gave you? That's the second question. What did you do with the life I gave you? Did you live out your days with a purpose? What did you do with your time? What did you do with your treasures? Did you make a difference for eternity whilst you're still here? And I'd like you to understand that there will be a reward ceremony for everyone. Just like a child at a school assembly being called up for a merit certificate, on that day, you and I, every single one of us, God will open up these books and He will reward us accordingly. And let me say this, that every single one of us will experience the entrance to heaven differently. Let me say that again. Every one of us on that day will experience the entrance to heaven differently based on what is filed in these books. Let me give you an example. Can I do an illustration? I'm going to ask Jenny and I'm going to ask Adam on stage. Give them a round of applause. I like this thing where I just pull people from the stage and just do illustrations. And it's good because we're all going to have fun. We're all going to have a turn. But I want to teach you something. I want to show you something how... Thank you. I want to teach you something, show you something, how everyone's experience entering to heaven will be different based on what is recorded in these books here. Adam and Jenny, okay, let me ask you this question here. If I gave you a free concert ticket to watch AC/DC, let's just show a picture of AC/DC. Okay. So I gave Adam, here's a free ticket to AC/DC. Jenny, here's one to you. And you know what? Front row, Optus Stadium. Front row, Optus Stadium. Now, imagine this is the gate to Optus Stadium. I want you to walk through the gate with your free tickets right now. Go. Okay, so there's a difference there. Okay. So I've got one confused girl going, and then I've got one hard rocker. Woohoo! Okay, let's just flip that. Let's just say we didn't have the AC/DC ticket, sorry, mate. But we had BTS. So here's a BTS front row VIP. Here's a BTS. Okay. Here's the entrance to Optus Stadium. BTS, go! Give them a round of applause. Off you go. I want you to never ever forget that illustration, because on that day some of us will experience such joy and delight as we enter heaven, and for others it will be very different. In fact, for some, it may be just like you're escaping the fire of hell. And that sounds pretty harsh. But once we get into heaven, well, once you're in, you're in. You know, once you're in, you're in. There's no, like, don't have an understanding or theology that there's, like, you know what, different levels of mansions and how many rooms. That's just wrong, bad theology. Once you're in, you're in. You're going to enjoy the presence of God forever. But let me say that based on how you answer question two, your experience of walking into heaven will be different. For some of you, there'll be such joy. Like Adam, free ticket to AC/DC. And for some of you, it's like, I just scraped through as if I got out of the pits of hell. That sounds harsh, but that's actually biblical. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because that day, that's the judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive the reward. There it is again. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You see, I mean, that's the word of God. I'm not making this up, but what I want you to understand is that the second question God will ask every one of us is, what did you do with the life I gave you? And I hope that your reply would be this, that God, I know that everything I have is from you. I know that you've given me these wonderful gifts. I have figured out my purpose, and I use my purpose to make a difference for eternity. God, look at my life, God. This is what I did, God. And I made sure that everything I did, I made sure I made a difference for eternity. And I hope that we would all answer God that way. Last week I quoted David Viscott. He says this, "The purpose of life is to discover your gift. The meaning of life is to give your gift away." So three things I want you to remember, three lessons based on making a difference that I want you to take home this morning here. Enjoy and experience that joy. When you and I are willing to make a difference with the life God has given us, we will experience real joy. Secondly, we will display, we will magnify, we will exalt Christ when we make a difference. And thirdly, we all can start today. And that's what I want to talk about. Is that okay? So let me just pray and we'll get to work. Lord, would you help me now as I explain to your people what it means to make a difference? Would you speak to your people through me, and may we have clarity on what you want us to do, for we know that one day you shall ask us those questions, what did we do with the life you gave us? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Experience joy. Jesus once said this, and Luke recorded this in Acts 20:33. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, when you make a difference to those around you with your time or your treasures or your talents, Jesus clearly says you will be blessed. There will be such joy, there will be such happiness if you're willing to give, if you're willing to make a difference. You think about that. Every child loves Christmas or when it's their birthday. Is that right? Why is that? Because there's nothing better than receiving a gift. You're opening the present and you're opening and you realize it's that gift you've been longing for. But we all know that we eventually reach an age in life where giving becomes more satisfying. A child may not get that, but every one of us will reach an age where we realize that if we give, it is more satisfying, that you are blessed when you bless someone. In fact, just seeing someone's face in joy as they receive a gift or a blessing from us, it also blesses us. We experience that joy. Winston Churchill once says this, "We make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give." So if life is all about, I want this, I want that, I get that, that's not the true meaning of life. But when we're willing to give, when we're willing to serve, when we're willing to make a difference, that's life. And it's through the act of serving and giving and contributing and giving up our time and our treasure and our talents, we will enrich not only us, but also the people around us. And that's when you experience true joy. It is a command from the Bible. Peter says this in his letter, 1 Peter 4:10. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." Whatever God has given to you, use it to serve the people around you. Serve your family, serve your community, serve your friends as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. It's very clear. It is a command. God has given us gifts. Use those gifts to make a difference to the people around us. And there's a reason why God would command that. Because God knows what is best for us. Parents, you tell your children to do certain things because you know that the byproduct of those actions would lead to satisfaction or joy or happiness. And it's the same with God. God knows that if you are to give and contribute and serve, ultimately it will lead to real joy. And that's why He would command us to do that. I'll show you that in another way. Jesus once said this in John 15:10-11. If you keep my commands, in other words, do what I tell you, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You notice that? I have told you this. Keep my commands. Do what I tell you. Contribute, serve, give, bless people. Do what I tell you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. When you and I are willing to give and serve and contribute and make a difference in this world for eternity, we will experience real joy. I mean, accumulating possession, like seriously, it does not lead to real joy. It does not lead to real joy. If you want this, if you want that, you want to keep up with the Joneses, it's not going to lead to real joy. It may be temporary, but it will not be eternal. Physical pleasures, it does not lead to real joy. But online gaming, like I'm speaking to some of you, it does not lead to real joy. Making lots of money, that does not lead to real joy. I read somewhere the Harvard Business School that did a survey based on how much people made per year and how much they spent money on themselves or other people. All right, so it was a study, it was a research. And the conclusion of the research was this. Regardless of how much money people made, those who spent money on others experienced more joy than those who spent money on themselves. This is Harvard Business School. But clearly, if you live a life thinking about the other, if you live a life making a difference to the people around you, you experience true joy. And it's a teaching from the Bible, and it's something that you and I need to keep close. If life is all about us, what I can get, what can you give me, what can you do for me, I go to church and what am I expecting for you to give to me, you're not going to live the life that God wants you to live. But if your attitude is, what can I give to those around me? What has God given me? What gifts do I have so that I can make a difference to those around me? How can I bless this person? How can I pray for this person? How can I just be there for someone who's hurting? All those things will lead to real joy. Try it out. Try it out this week. Find out what you're really good at. If you're good at baking a cake, bake a cake and give it to your neighbor and see whether there is joy. Make sure you can bake. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Don't forget that. Is that all right? Secondly, we display Christ. We magnify Christ. We make him great. You know, Jesus, before he left, before he was going to the cross and he would leave to head back home to heaven, there was a scene in the New Testament where Jesus would wash the feet of his disciples. Some of you may know that story. And you would know that maybe, most of you would know, that the culture back then was that if you came to someone's house, your feet had to be washed. Because it's just culture. Yeah? It's like today, you know, you can tell, and I'm not trying to be racist here, but you can tell an Asian's house just by looking outside their front door, right? Because there are just thongs and shoes, and it's like a minefield of thongs just trying to get through the front door, right? You can tell. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's culture. It's cultural, right? Back in those days, you've got to wash your feet. But the washing of the feet, right, was only left for the lowest of the low. We're talking like slaves, Gentile slaves. You don't want people with dirty feet walking to your house, so you get the slaves to wash your feet. So there's a story where Jesus and his disciples are about to enter to someone's house for a meal, and they're all looking at each other saying, who's going to wash our feet? Can't see any slaves around here. Peter, you going to do it? No. John, are you going to do it? And then what happens to Jesus, the Master, God in the flesh, simply just got down on his knees, wrapped a towel around his waist, and began to wash the disciples' feet. I mean, it's a humiliating role. It is horrible. It's dirty. It's smelly. It's disgusting. Like, even I struggle. Sometimes when I go to Bali and I get a massage in Bali, and one of the things they do before they give you a massage is they wash your feet. Like, I don't get it. Like, I just want a neck massage. But we'll wash your feet anyway. And I get so uncomfortable. I kid you not, I get so uncomfortable. They're sitting there and they're just serving and they're just washing my feet. And in my mind, I'm like, you have no idea where I've been all day. But they'll wash my feet. And it's a disgusting role. It's humiliating. And we see this right here. I mean, this is God in the flesh. This is the master washing the feet of the students. But as he washes their feet, he looks at them and he says this in John 13, 14, 15. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you may do as I have done for you. Here's the reason why Jesus said that. If you know your Bible, in verse 13 and 14 and 15, it's all in one night. It's leading towards the arrest and the crucifixion. And Jesus knew that his time was up. Jesus knew that in the very next day he's going to be arrested, he's going to die on a cross, and it's time to go back home. And he wanted to set an example for his followers. He says right there, now you have seen me, I've set an example for you to do what I have done. Because Jesus knew that it's up to them now to make a difference. Because sooner or later he's not going to be around. He's going to leave the work of proclaiming the good news to these wonderful disciples. It's now up to them to live a life to make a difference so that the gospel would be spread. And we know what happens, right? We read through the Bible and Jesus is no longer around. But these 12 disciples, they would proclaim the good news. They would serve the poor. They would reach people. And Christianity was birthed. Jesus was exalted. His name was made famous. He was on display, Jesus. They made a difference. And every time you and I, if we're willing to make a difference for eternity, we will put Jesus on display. If we're willing to make a difference, we will magnify Jesus. And people will see Jesus in us through the way we serve and love and contribute and give to those around us as we make a difference for eternity. So every time you do something and you go, no one noticed, no one sees what I'm doing, he sees what you're doing. And every time you do that, you're magnifying him. You're exalting him. You're putting him on display. That's why we do what we do. I read a story of a pastor in America. He was a famous pastor. And he was out eating dinner with his family at a restaurant. And in America, you know the American system, they allocate you a waiter or waitress. And so they pay these workers very low, minimum wages. And the only way to make a living is what, through tipping. Is that right? Because the American culture is that you tip around 20-30% or so. And depending on your service, it just fluctuates. So anyhow, this pastor is out there having a meal with his family, and he is just waiting because he's noticed that the waitress, she's having a bad day. She's not doing a good job. She's getting all the orders wrong, and she's late, and she's just really having a bad day. In fact, her service probably should equate to 0% tip. That's how bad it was. But the pastor was very empathetic, had this compassion, and he knew that things weren't going well. So he grabbed this waitress to his table. He says, look, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that there's a God who cares and he sees what you're going through. And this pastor didn't even know that this person had a faith or was a Christian. He doesn't know. He just said, I want you to know that God loves you. That God sees what's going on and we all have bad days. It's okay. We understand. Just do the best you can. Anyhow, as this waitress was serving him throughout the night, it was really bad service. But the Holy Spirit prompted the pastor to give this waitress a generous tip, like a huge tip. And the pastor was struggling with this because he was like, no way, you know what, that was bad service. But God's Spirit kept saying, give her a tip that would shock her. Give her a tip that she would think that you made a mistake, make a difference in her world. So in obedience, he wrote the tip on the bill. And as he left with his family, this waitress ran after him and said, sir, I think you made a mistake. I've looked at the bill and I think you made a mistake with the tipping. It's too much. And he looked at her and he smiled. He says, no, this is the amount that I want to give you because I want to be a channel of God's blessing to you. I want you to know that God loves you. And she starts to cry. She starts to cry because she has been struggling with her faith, struggling with her family, and she prayed for a miracle. And God would use this pastor as a channel of His blessing and grace, mercy and hope to make a difference in the lives of the people around, especially this particular lady here. Every time you and I are willing to make a difference, you don't know what's going to happen. But let me say that you will exalt the name of Jesus Christ. If your difference is for eternity, people will see Christ. Maybe not then, but maybe later down the track. That is a good reason why we should make a difference in this world. Because it's not about us. It's not about our church. It's definitely not about me. It's about a Jesus who's done everything for us that we want to make Him famous. We want to magnify Him and put Him on display. May you and I make a difference to the day He takes us home. Amen. And lastly, that we can start today. We can start now. All right. I've heard so many people who've said to me, I can't make a difference. I can't do anything, Pastor. There's nothing good in me. Or maybe they say things like, well, maybe one day when God, sort out my business in life, and, you know, this is a very busy season for me, I will make a difference. Or they may say things like, I'm not in a good state right now. You know, there's lots I've got to deal with. I can't really make a difference. We've got to not let those thoughts stop us from making a difference today. We've got to stop hearing those voices. Stop having a thinking that until I hear from God, then I will do it. Or until someone prophesies over me and I get a word from God, then I will make a difference. Or until I master my gifts, and then I will make a difference. Or when I have more time, I will make a difference. Or when I'm in a better state, I will make a difference. Can I say that time is running out? We do not know when God is going to take us home or when God is going to return. And God will ask you that question, what did you do with the life I gave you? We can start today. Every time I think of making a difference, I'm reminded of the parable in Matthew 25, where God will give talents or bags of gold to these individuals. And in that parable, God gave one particular, well, the parable is that the master gave one worker 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to the other 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then the master went on his journey. You notice that according to the ability, the master gave one person 5, another 2, and then the last one 1. Then the master returned. If you know the parable, the master returned. The person that was given 5 made another 5. That was 10. Obviously, this is a story. This is a parable, right? The one that was given 2 made what? Another 2. That was 4. But look at verse 18. But the man who had received 1 bag went off. He dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Like workers 1 and workers 2, if you read through that particular chapter, they were all, I guess, in a way rewarded. And the master said, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? You've been faithful with a few things. Come and enjoy my inheritance. Well done. But then the one that did nothing, made no difference. We don't know why. The text doesn't tell us why. Maybe he was waiting for the right time to spend that 1 bag of gold. We don't know. Maybe he was too busy. Maybe he was just wondering, why didn't he get 5 bags? I'm upset. The other guy got 5. The next one got 2. I got 1. I'm not doing anything. Or maybe that particular worker was just lazy. I don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But look at the master's response when the master came back and had a chat with that worker with the 1 bag that did nothing. Verse 26. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest." You see? I don't want any one of us here to be like the worker with the 1 bag. I don't want anyone of us to say to God in that day, well, God, you know, how come I didn't receive 5 bags and I was very angry with you and I only was given 1 bag? But clearly God said, based on our ability, based on our capacity. God will give us certain giftings. Just because someone has a gifting in prophecy and you don't have that, you don't have to envy that. Be comfortable with what God has given to you. If your gift is in caring for people, use that. Someone might have a gift in leadership and you don't. Don't envy that. Just work with the design that God has designed you and created you. Don't say, God, I wish I had that. If only you gave me that, then I would have done that. No. I just hope that on that day, we don't say things like, God, I was just busy. You don't know what was going on in my world. God, I was trying to start a business and I had a family, I had kids, and I realized that I had no time to do anything. We don't want to say that to God. Oh God, I was so afraid. Like I tried things in the past and it never worked and I was so afraid I may mess up again. That's why I did nothing. We don't want to say that. We want to say, God, you gave me 2 and I gave you 2. You gave me 5 and I gave you 5. You gave me this gift and I used it to make a difference. I found my purpose and I made a difference for eternity. And you and I, we can start today. It doesn't have to be big. It could be small. I read somewhere one of the things that we can do in the morning, right, before we start our day, is actually just to make our bed. That's it. Like for some of you, you're probably not even doing that. You can't remember the last time you made your bed. You can't remember the last time you actually changed your sheets. Ew. Yeah. You can do small things. Like young people, make your bed. And here's the reason why. If you start with that small discipline, something small, and you've conquered the very first task, wow, you would never know what God can do with the small thing, because He can make the small thing big. I spoke to someone here this morning, and that person, just to get to church this morning, that person don't have a car. It's train, it's bus, and it's walking 20 minutes. And I said to that person, that's a victory, because you've accomplished something small. And there's a discipline in that small thing that God will grow to a big thing. Did you know that it's the 1st of March right now? Crazy. Do you know that 2 months have gone? I can't believe it. Like it's Christmas soon. You know, here's my point. If we're not worried and not thinking about this, before we know it, the year has gone and we've lived the same year as last, you're doing nothing. And we can do something today. We can start with the small things today and do not let things like comparison, insecurities, or fear, or busyness, or season of life to stop us from making a difference today. Ask yourself the question, what do I have? What has God given to me? What's so unique about me is the fact that I love to speak to people. Pick up the phone and speak to someone this week. Find what you're passionate about. Find your design. Figure out your purpose. Start today. If you love kids and you're not in kids' church, you're missing out. If you love coffee and you're not doing coffee, you're missing out. If you love the poor and you're not reaching the poor, you're missing out. If you love high school ministry and you're not doing high school ministry, you're missing out. Don't let bitterness, don't let past, don't let busyness, don't let disappointment, don't let insecurity, don't let comparison, don't let the past affect what God can do in you today and tomorrow. Start now. Start today. Start small. Don't be despised with the small beginnings, because God can do something big if we're willing to start small. Because one of these days we will stand before Him. And that second question, what did you do with the life I gave you? God, I made a difference. I made a difference for eternity. God, I figured out my design. I know why you created me like that. I know why I always cry when I see kids with no sponsors on TV. God, I'm working with compassion. God, I'm doing something. You're making a difference. God, I don't know why, but I'm always thinking about the homeless, the people in Leaderville here. Every time I drive past Leaderville, I see them and my heart breaks for them. I know that's your heart for the poor, God. I will make a difference. God, I don't know why, God, but every time I go into my office in my company and I see these broken families and people having issues at home, my heart breaks for them. You make a difference there. God, I don't know why, but when I'm in the lecture theater and I look around, I see hundreds of students and I realize if they don't meet you, they're going to go to hell. It breaks my heart. Make a difference there. Don't waste this life that God has given to us, because one day He will ask us, what did you do with the life I gave you? We have growth tracks at Sun Life Church. Growth track is to help you discover your purpose, to help you discover your design. We have small communities for you to do life with people, so that people can speak into your situation and help you to discover your purpose. And then we have all these wonderful teams. Like Growth Track, step 3, we introduce you to the wonderful teams. But can I just say in faith that those teams are not it. There'll be more teams that God will birth in this church here. Because I believe that we're all wired differently. And we're not called to come here every Sunday, sing a few songs, feel good about ourselves, and hear me preach and scream and shout. No. We're all called to find our design, figure out our purpose, make a difference, because one day we shall stand before Him and He will ask us, what have you done with the life I gave you? And may our reply be, God, I figured out my design, I know my purpose, and I made a difference for eternity. Is that all right? Let me pray with you.